Welcome to Outside the Box, trying to care about people I do not know. Today's topic is Humanitarian Industrial Complex. You've probably heard of Dwight Eisenhower's warning that the military-industrial complex was dangerous, and you may have heard of the prison-industrial complex and the nonprofit-industrial complex, both of which enable big business and wealthy nonprofits to dominate government policies. The humanitarian industrial complex may not be a common term, but it can influence and corrupt our thinking about humanitarian work. This has become clear due to the recent elimination of USAID, Agency for International Development, by the head of DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency. AID has shrunk from about 10,000 employees to a handful. If anything is left, it will be a small office in the Department of State. The ending of food, education, healthcare, disaster relief, economic development, democracy promotion, and environmental preservation aid to primarily low-income countries around the world may shorten the lives of as many as 2.5 million people. Some have already died. Research on controlling and eliminating diseases such as HIV, malaria, smallpox, and cancer have come to a screeching halt. Most U.S. staff and certainly in-country workers truly care about the welfare of the populations of countries in which they serve. Grassroots organizations that hosted AID programs have been devastated by the cancellations. Many individuals struggling to survive will be hurt by the cruel decision to pull the rug from under these programs. But in addition to helping people in recipient countries, AID programs were really begun and still run primarily to benefit the United States. The U.S. wanted to be seen as a humanitarian nation with high morals and a demonstrated concern for other countries. But AID programs required that many of the products, almost half of all food assistance, medicines, environmental items, came from U.S. farmers, drug companies, manufacturers, etc. The U.S. could have used more of its AID money to support people in countries with inadequate food supplies to grow their own food rather than get crops from U.S. farmers. Despite a general awareness of cultural sensitivity, some AID programs did not mesh well with a country's or a community's culture of environmental stewardship. Programs often seem paternalistic and racist. There were times where USAID workers took jobs that could have gone to local residents. Sometimes what the host government wanted was not what a local recipient community wanted. Humanitarianism is a good thing, but sometimes a country that was getting some AID support was only seen for its poverty or conflict, not for its attributes. If not for international debts, many of these nations could take care of themselves without major assistance. While host countries did benefit, the U.S. gained a better international reputation for itself. I would have thought darker-skinned people in Africa would have received the most U.S. assistance, such as the people of Sudan, who are caught up in a horrible civil war. But by far the top recipient in 2024 was Ukraine, with over $16 billion in non-military aid, over 20% of AID's budget, followed by a long list of African nations. While much of what AID has done was called humanitarian, I think these programs were primarily intended to benefit the United States and not necessarily the recipient countries. Some of it did reduce hunger and improve public health, but the money could have been spent more effectively for the people of the countries that received it if the priority had been the welfare of the recipient country, not the reputation of the United States. Do you think there is a humanitarian industrial complex? If so, who really benefits? I'm Larry Danziger, wanting humanitarianism to mean caring more about others than ourselves. ¶¶